call the Finance Administrative Committee meeting to order for July 9th, 2013. Councilman John Cartier chairing the meeting. My legislative aide, Brian Hollider, is taking our minutes. I'd like to recognize those that joined us at the table. Councilman Reddick, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Street, Councilman Bell, Councilmember Kilpatrick. Others will end up being here. We do have a quorum. Do I have a motion on the...
So moved.
Second.
The 25th of June. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Moving ahead, presentations, we have none. Consent calendar, we have none. Other resolutions? Resolution 13-170, authorizing execution of 4 non-bid purchase order contracts for various services for the Department of Special Services totaling $124,450. Okay. The controversial term non-bid. Councilman Street,
I
understand your concern.
Thank you.
Next, do we have someone from Special Services who'd like to give us some detail on Resolution 13-170? Yes, sir.
Tony Schiavi, Special Services. I can start off with the first two. The first one is for $10,000, and it's for a stream bank stabilization project on the unit block of Broadbent Drive in Northminster. It's where you have a sharp turn on the south branch of Namens Creek. It's eroding away, and there's a sanitary sewer interceptor right there at that spot. So the Conservation District, in response to concerns of the property owner, went out there, worked up an estimate for about $20,000 to make the stabilization there, but they invited me out there and showed me that our sewer line is pretty close to it and in jeopardy, and asked if we wanted to contribute half the cost, and I recommend that we do so, and that's what the first one's for.
Okay, I'd like to recognize that Council President Bullock has joined us at the table. Okay, continue, please.
And the second one is for the buyout of a property located at 2300 Marsh Road. It was one of the buyout properties that was recommended to Council last year. Council voted in the Special Services Committee or Finance Committee, I can't remember which one, to proceed with these buyouts. This was the number one priority. And this is, of course, a 75%, 25% federal cost share. This one is unique in the sense that when the property gets bought out, the county doesn't have to worry about maintaining the property. The town of Argentown is going to take ownership of it and maintain it. So that's for the 71.7, and that's our local 25% cost share.
Okay, I'm very familiar with that home, which is uninhabitable and just destroyed. I think Hurricane Irene destroyed it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yes, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Recognizing that we've had a lot of debate around the non-bid issue,
yes.
And I think that's being corrected, but it just seems to me now that the titles, as I noticed them earlier on most of these, is pretty much stripped down to basically nothing. I think the title should say what it is that we're doing, and it doesn't say it at all. The title now is back to a place where it's almost vague. It's just giving you a bare minimum. And I'm not so certain if that's where we're trying to be either. I know this created a lot of discussion around land use issues when a lot of folk in the community felt that the titles were not saying exactly what we're doing. It seemed like these titles have gone to from the issue that we had a concern about to now just having a one-liner. When you say that authorizing the execution of 4 non-bid purchase orders for various services, it seems to me that some indication of what those services are should be included. And most of the ones that I reviewed in this packet are similarly titled, where the title is not providing you much of anything. And with the ordinance, not having the ordinance before you, you look at this title, the public sees it printed this way, it's really saying almost nothing. So I think we've gone from having an issue over non-bid, which I thought was a very legitimate issue, to now having a description of a title that says basically nothing. So I think we got to find some medium somewhere that sort of says what it is that we're doing with these dollars, as opposed to just seeing various services and those kinds of things. So this is my concern where we are today.
Good point, Councilman Street.
I'm not going to belabor it, but just so y'all know, going forward, Karate Kid said, was taught, wax on, wax off. Lock in, lock out. Lock in, lock out. That's what all that means to me. So when I say lock in, lock out, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Councilman Smiley.
The purchasing of the property is one thing. Does this also cover the demolition, or we're not going to be involved in that whatsoever?
Tony Sciavi, Special Services. Before I answer that question, I just want to let everybody know that these first two here are for the Newcastle Conservation District. They'll do certain things in-house that they can do, but when they can't, they will contract it out through their public bidding process, which is similar to ours because they're a state agency. In response to the question, the local share covers everything from soup to nuts.
Okay.
So any kind of design work, regrading work, demolition of the property, revegetating it, the whole thing, we are picking up the tab, the local tab, for Arden Town, basically. Excuse me. We will not own the land. We will not have to maintain it, but we're putting up the local share.
I understand. I'm just trying to clarify that once we put up our local share for the purchase and they take possession, we're not then going to be looking at a later request for grant money to demolish and rehab the property.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to join with what's been said by Councilman Hollins. It seems now that what we're looking at is these ordinances now are coming through and saying that the fiscal impact of this legislation upon operations and prices cannot be determined at this time, but could result in work delays and price increases unless approved. And that's the standard on all four of them. And yet, we just heard that the sheriff's particular property here, the pass-through grant funding, it is determined what the exact cost is, what the exact fiscal impact is. So is this just a canned message that now is going to come through on all these ordinances that is basically saying that we don't know what type of fiscal impact it's going to have? Well, we have to know what type of fiscal impact it's going to have. And certainly nobody wants to see work that's delayed and increases pricing. But just seems to me, though, it's kind of like a canned message now that's there, and it makes no sense to me when we just heard that particular amount, 33,333,33, is the amount. That is the fiscal impact. There is no other fiscal impact, but that's not what the verbiage says.
I think we need to work with these various departments on the construction with the language and the verbiage and the title of the resolution and ordinances, and I think council members are bringing forward, very legitimate concerns, and I hope we'll work with our purchasing and special services and our language with our resolutions to give us better transparency in the titling of these resolutions and ordinances. Any other questions? The only comment I'll make, I'm glad to see departments partnering with the Conservation District where it made sense to leverage dollars to minimize the fiscal impact dealing with, flooding and buyout issues of flood-ravaged homes.
And the federal government, too.
Federal government is part of that as well. So I know that it takes a lot of work to do that and a lot of, I'm sure, a lot of paperwork. We're glad to see that move forward on that basis. Any other comments on Resolution 13-170 for members of council? Members of the public? Okay, moving along. Resolution 13-171, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract for pass-through grant from the Newcastle County Sheriff's Office totaling $33,333.33. It's almost like a lottery ticket number. Anybody from the Sheriff's Office would like to present?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Trinidad Navarro, I'm County Sheriff. This is the remaining balance of the original deal 3 years ago with the Capitol Police Department, that they would take over the transporting of prisoners. The MOU was written 3 years ago. It was $100,000 a year for 3 years. This $33,333.33 is the final third installment. The county's already paid the original, I won't even try to manage, $234 and change. So this is what we owe, the remaining balance we owe to the state of Delaware.
Okay, glad to see us finally deal with that situation. Can you comment on this, the future savings that will result to the department?
Sure.
After we've given up this duty at the cost of some $100,000.
Yeah, that was the largest amount of overtime in the sheriff's office, was getting prisoners brought down to the jail area at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then taking them to Gander Hill Prison or wherever they had to go and have to wait because the shift changed, so the deputies were there for hours. So not only we don't have to deal with the overtime, but the two sheriffs that used to be, or deputy sheriffs that used to be in the courthouse, are now in the field. So it makes us more efficient and effective with delivery of service as well. So it's a win-win for the county. And I can tell you from talking to the state that they well underestimated the amount that would cost them to do the same work that we weren't doing. So it was a good deal.
Okay, thank you. Any comments, questions for members of council on this final payment to the state of Delaware so we can be relieved of the duty of, you know, working with the courthouse, delivering prisoners from our sheriff's office? Okay. Any comments, questions, members of the public? Seeing none, I'll move along. Resolution 13-172, authorizing execution of two purchase order contracts for maintenance of previously bid software and or hardware for the Office of Technology totaling $135,352.97. And Office of Technology, anybody here to, yes?
Hi, Andrea Smith, Administrative Services. I'll just speak on the two. The EMC is the annual maintenance for what's called the Power Pass that makes the servers speak to the disk storage. That was originally bid through the state of Delaware, and we purchased it through their contract. The one for Oracle is for the PeopleSoft payroll portion, and that's their annual maintenance, and that was also bid through Newcastle County Procurement back in 98.
Again, significant investment in maintenance of software and hardware for computer technology in the county is another aspect of that. Any questions, comments, members of council concerning Resolution 13-172? Okay. Any from members of the public? None. Moving along. Resolution 13-173, authorizing the execution of two purchase order contracts for pass-through grants from the Department of Community Services totaling $285,237. Okay, Community Services, would you like to present?
Alan Mattis, Department of Community Services. These are actually two purchase orders because of their size for you. The first one, City of Newark, we act as their pass-through from the federal government. These are both projects that were approved by council, funded by community development block grant funds. Newark does not provide their own direct funding. They have the urging and HUD, and with the contract with Newcastle County, receive their funding through us. The other contract is the Martin Luther King Center that provides services to Newcastle County residents, one of our more active organizations that can provide a number of varied services to individuals in need. As I said, both of these POs are being funded with federal funds in my county.
Thank you. Councilman Holmes?
I'll just say this once again. This is another classic example of my concern I raised earlier. Previously, the title would state that there's a pass-through grant to the city of Newark, Community Development Block Grant Fund, a grant to MLK, CDBG Fund. So it's known when you look at the title, as opposed to just looking at a blanket statement, trying to wonder, okay, well, what is the pass-through grant?
Right.
What's the purpose of where it's going and why? That's pretty much the standard with all of these ordinances that are on this agenda today. It doesn't say much of anything. And without the ordinance reading through it, again, if the public were to get this as our agenda, it's telling the public absolutely nothing. And I think if we were to just look at the past, the way this was handled before previously, you would see clearly that the title did contain enough information to give people at least a clue of what was going on here.
Point well taken. Our attorney, Council Carol Dolan, has raised her hand. You wanted to say something?
Yes, Carol Dolan, Council. When this was brought up before, I believe that you recall that at one point, policy says approving contracts. There was no detail. Then we put all the detail back in it, and then there was a concern that there was too much detail and people were asking for too many questions. So what we worked out with purchasing is when it was a pass-through grant or something that was previously bid, that would suffice. So I feel that it incumbent upon me to say that purchasing has been very, very helpful and willing to work with us on whatever we wanted to put in, and maybe it was my misunderstanding as to what council was looking for.
Councilman Hollins.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, and I believe purchasing has been working on this. I just think they've gone too far. I think the contentiousness before was around the continued use of non-bid contracts, which in the case of at our last meeting, it was even stated as non-bid for the contract libraries that we've had contracts with for 100 years. So when that is the case, it's certainly not a non-bid in my opinion. It's just an incorrect title. In this instance, I think when you just have a statement that's so vague, at least having what it is in there, I think it's very helpful. And most of these, and I assume that this work was going on from my conversation 2 weeks ago with Andrew, that we were working together to try to get something that made sense. But I think most of the argument, from my standpoint, was around the issue of non-bid being abused. And I think the issue that was raised today by Councilman Bell, there's just a continuation of this. It's almost like it's a standard template. The resolution authorizes execution, cannot be determined at this time, could result in delays and price increases unless approved. Now, all this language just seems to be now to be abused or overused at least, and I don't think all of these ordinances fit that criteria, but I understand trying to not overburden the title, but I think the title should at least have the basis of what this is doing. This, to me, just doesn't give me enough as one council member. It may give everybody else enough, and I would yield to the majority.
But. Okay. Again, making the point once again, maybe we could come up with a different sort of preferred language for the content of the titles to reflect the detail that you're requesting. Deputy CAO raised his hand back.
Hi, Jim McDonald, Executive Office. I'd offer that perhaps we'd get Marcus and Andrea, and with your permission, your council to council, we get together and come up with a couple alternatives to present to council and see if that works for you. But we're more than happy to work with you.
Okay, that sounds good. Council Member Dillard.
Yeah, I just think this is a very simple addition of adding the information from the about the federal grant. You know, I mean, for those of us who are familiar with this, you know, we assume it's CDBG, but not everybody's going to know that. And just putting this in the title, I think, like Councilman Hollins mentioned, it'll give people more information. And it just makes it easier for somebody to read this and figure out where the money's coming from and where it's going.
It's just a point of transparency.
Yeah, and it's not hard to do this.
Okay. Good dialogue. Hopefully we can get to a preferred format, having enough detail in these titles of resolution ordinances to satisfy, the transparency requirements that council members have, and certainly helps with general public's awareness as well. Moving along, any other comments from members of public on resolution 13-173? Any comments, questions, members of council? Moving along, we're going on to ordinances. Ordinance 13-049, amend the annual 2014 approved operating budget, reduce the 2014 appropriation to the Department of Special Services by $604,818 and increase the Department of Community Services appropriation by $604,818 to reflect the transfer of the management and operation of the Carousel Equestrian Center to Community Services. Okay, who would like to just provide detail on that? It's a pretty detailed title on that ordinance.
Yes. Alan Mattis, Department of Community
Services. My compliments to whoever drafted the title.
I'll defer to my colleague in purchasing on that one. What we're doing is picking up the program.
Please identify yourself.
I'm sorry. Again, Alan Mattis, Department of Community Services. We have basically assumed the responsibility of programs at Carousel Park, which means that the equestrian piece is now under us. The physical maintenance of the park remains with Special Services, a more definitive move. Just bringing programs under Department of Community Services and keeping maintenance under Special Services. So it's I think, more in line with what our mission statements are by department.
Okay, and
I'm sorry, if I could. Yeah. So that does include the individuals associated just moving over to our department. There really has been no change.
And just for the record, reflects no, it's a transfer of exact dollar amounts between the departments. No increase or decrease noted in the ordinance. Any other questions for members of council? Questions for the public? Alrighty, moving right along. Ordinance 13-053, amend the grants budget, appropriate $177,000 from the FY 2013 approved operating budget to the property maintenance revolving fund. Okay. This is a land use issue.
Yes.
Mr. Smith,
good afternoon.
Throwing a lifeline out to you today.
Jim Smith with the Department of Land Use. Actually, this ordinance and the following one, 13054, are companion pieces of legislation. Essentially, what it is a timing issue. We're asking to transfer money from the FY13 approved operating budget that we have in salary savings and contractual savings to the property maintenance revolving fund. And the reason that was needed, as you'll recall, when we had the lawsuit that was pending against Newcastle County for our ticketing program, we had to suspend that program temporarily. We primarily fund the Property Maintenance Revolving Fund, which is the fund that we use to correct problems in communities. For instance, because of this heavy rain and our heightened season right now, we've been mowing a lot of grass in excess of 3 feet just to try to stay ahead of it, keep complaints from reaching to you. And because of the temporary suspension of that ticketing program, weren't able to stay at the proper level. So council back in March made an appropriation that caught it up. Now the reason this is necessary at this time is we're expending money extremely fast during our most heightened season with the rain and spring and summer. And we are adding nearly $500,000 of civil penalties. That revenue will go to the county coffers when the tax bills come out later this year. So now we're down to a critically low level of about $17,000, which won't cover us for very long to do the abatements that are needed in communities. So it's a timing issue by bringing the money temporarily into the property maintenance revolving fund, and then after the tax bills go out later this year, we'll recoup about $500,000 through the tax bills. Okay. So it's 177.5 now, but we'll recoup $500,000.
Okay, and I'd like to apologize. I failed to recognize this as under sponsors of Councilman Taka and Councilman Redda. Councilman Redda, did you want to say anything further or offer any comments?
What he said.
Okay. Well, I got to say, you know, it's really great that we have this revolving fund. I think we established it probably 2006, I believe, something like that.
2008. Yeah, our primary focus was not revenue. It was to correct violations faster. Right. But we've billed, we've collected over $2 million in civil penalties since 2008.
So we essentially collect the penalties, and then we use those funds to abate the problem properties that are failing to comply with our code enforcement directives?
Well, we use a portion of it through the property maintenance revolving fund. We actually have two funds. We have a problem properties where we designate a list and we go after really aggressive problems, burned out structures, roofs that need repair. Most of the property maintenance revolving fund is used for less serious, although sometimes it does have to be used for maybe a roof, a lot of grass cutting, tree or debris removal, cleaning up garbage and the exterior homes. And since that same time period, we've abated nearly 2,900 properties. So it is used quite extensively.
Excellent. Councilman Redd and Councilman Smiley.
What Jim Smith said is also, I don't know if everybody would catch on to it, it has to do with contractors that we, different vendors that we send out to different homes that we can't take care of ourselves. So that's where the money is coming into play. And some of the homes that he said about the problem property homes were, they're in the top 25, they're the ones that are, they're being looked at first. And of course that's a revolving 25 too.
Good, excellent. Councilman Smiley.
And we're continuing to levy against those properties to recover our expenditures?
Yes, we give them a demand notice immediately if they don't pay it within about 2 weeks, about 10 days. We immediately file a property lien against the properties, and we've been really aggressive in getting that back to the point that we're almost getting back, essentially what we're putting in liens, we're getting it back through sheriff sales or if the property transfers. So they are checking with the county, they are recognizing that the banks are paying them off when it gets to their attention.
I just want to follow up and say I want to thank the Finance Department, the Assessment Division, Code, all of them with the information that they provide. I mean, I know because of what we're doing, I'm having much greater success getting the financial institutions to foot the bill up front to maintain the properties and get them on an ongoing basis. So, and because, I mean, I had one this past, in the last week, got the information, was on the phone with the bank today, and their maintenance crew will be out there tomorrow. They're supposed to, but I have one bank that has actually instituted a program now to where they require before and after pictures from their vendor, because I had three properties they were told had been maintained and weren't. So now, as part of their program, they require before and after pictures before they will pay their vendors. So the pressure that the county's putting on is actually keeping some issues from even making it to us.
That's correct. Actually a violation of your mortgage to have violations on your property. So we do keep the banks very informed as to what violations and liens are being recorded against the property.
Thank you.
Just state your name for the record.
Jim Smith again.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, Sam Guy. I just wanted to also give a heads up. This is a revolving fund, and one of the problems is the revolving aspect of it, the timing of the money coming in. And so when the budget was put together, what we're doing now is somewhat contrary to what the game plan was for land use and the positions. So this is kind of a temporary fix. So don't be surprised if once we get the money, then we undo the transaction.
Yes, and please identify yourself for the record.
Sam Guy.
Thank you. Okay, very good comments. Any other questions, comments from members of council on 13053? Moving on to the next companion ordinance 13-054, amend the annual fiscal year 2013 operating budget, reduce the fiscal year 2013 appropriation Department of Land Use by $177,500 to provide funding for the property maintenance revolving fund. Councilman Redd, you want to?
Thank you. What Jim Smith said, that one ordinance 053 and 054 companion, this is just an explanation on how the monies is coming through and how it'll be administered.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from members of council? Any questions from the public, staff? Okay, moving along. Ordinance 13-056, amend the grants budget, appropriate funding to the 2013 State Youth Employment Program grant for the Department of Community Services. who would like to... Councilman Street.
First item.
Title. Okay. Any other questions from members of council? I think this summer, you know, youth employment grant is a very important program. We wish we had more money for this. This totals $84,960. Maybe if things turn out, we can do a little more at the end here. Moving along, ordinance 13-057, amend the fiscal year 2013 approved operating budget, reduce the county council operating budget, or provide funding for the 2013 summer youth employment grant. Mr. Street.
Per title.
In fact, we are going to do more. We're going to, in this proposed ordinance, we're going to decrease our budget by $3,937.34 and transfer it to summer youth, state summer youth employment program grant. Thank you. Very good. Any questions, comments from members of council? Any questions, comments from the public? Moving right along. Ordinance 13-058, amend the grants budget, appropriate $35,000 from the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control and $25,000 from the FY 2013 approved operating budget, the Water Quality Improvement Plan for the Appaquinic Watershed Grant administered by Department of Special Services. Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Also per title, but also the companion piece, which you'll see is on 059, which authorizes the contract one. 058 does, 059 releases the money. I also want to let you know that the University of Delaware Water Resources Agency is also giving $15,000, and DelDOT has agreed to $10,000 in-kind contributions by doing work with this project. So the total project's $85,000. Newcastle County is putting $25,000 towards that of the other funds.
Okay. I think we understand the fiscal nature of this pretty thoroughly. Maybe if you want to comment on the actual project itself.
I'll send it out to Special Services for a lifeline in.
Anybody from Special Services?
Yeah. Yes. Ellie Mortazavi from Department of Special Services. As you all know, under the new NPDS permit that was signed back in May 7th, Newcastle County and Department of Transportation are co-permittees under this permit. And then by the year 4, one of the obligations as part of the permit, by the year 4, we have to do two water quality improvement plans for two watersheds in Newcastle County. Being proactive, we actually won another grant a couple of years ago, and we did a water pilot plan for Pike Creek watershed. But being that, and with the lessons that we learned, since it was a Piedmont watershed, and we didn't have that much chance for the infiltration in order to reduce the load reduction and the waste load allocation in order to aim for reaching the TMDL, we decided to do a different watershed, which more like a coastal plain watershed. That's why we decided to do an aquatic watershed to see that whether or not we have more chance for infiltration in that area and compare the results with the Pike Creek watershed. Both of them are going to be pilot study, and hopefully it's going to help us with the coming up and developing a watershed plans for under our permit.
Okay, thank you for that detail on the project itself. Any comments, questions from members of council? Okay, any more comments from the public? All right, moving along, and just very briefly, ordinance 13-059, for the record, amend the fiscal year 2013 approved operating budget, reduce Department of Special Services by $25,000 to provide funding for water quality improvement plan to the Appaquinimic Watershed Grant. Mr. Sheldon,
The money. This authorizes the money to come out of the fund to go towards this to pay the bill.
Okay. Very good. Any comments, questions from members of council? Any from the public? All right. Moving right along. Ordinance 13-061 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2, Administration, to clarify the existing exemption from special services contract wage requirements for committee groups that raise private funds and manage and contract for specific projects for public benefit in county parks and facilities. It's under my sponsorship. This ordinance creates the opportunity in a positive way in our prevailing wage standards for groups that raise private funds to take on a project in one of our public facilities, to make improvements to that project, and to gift that or donate that to the county. I think it will provide a you know, a positive way for local community groups to help the county reduce its fiscal demands and maintaining different facilities within the county. And this this language has been crafted to take into consideration organizations like the Friends of Rockwood, who are proposing to renew our conservatory at the Rockwood Museum. So it also would apply to any other nonprofit community group that's out there that seeks to partner with the county and raise funds privately to renew our facilities. One point that I want to make about this ordinance, it does not affect any project bid with public dollars. So all the capital dollars that we dedicate to our projects must be bid according to prevailing wage standards and also the other standard passed by this council, responsible contractor requirements. This only provides exemption for privately raised funds. All public funds must be bid according to prevailing wage and responsible contractor standards. And that's the content of the ordinance. Any questions from members of council? Councilman Street.
Well, initially, when I looked at this coming forward, I had the view that there's no need of arguing and bringing this back up again, because basically the will of council has been decided. And then I looked at the editorial news journal agrees with it, so now I have to speak up because I know I'm right. And the concern I have now is the concern I had before, and I think in maintaining the view that Friends of Rockwood are trying to do right by man, God, and country, and it's a good thing. I think we're being naive and forgetting part of the reason that the prevailing wage was established. It was established in part to prevent abuse and prevent misuse. It requires compliance officers to visit a work site, talk to employees, make sure that they understand what the prevailing wage is, make sure they understand what all rules and regulations are. And it was designed again in part to prevent abuse like paying folks underneath the table so that they don't get their Social Security, abuse like paying folks a daily amount as opposed to a wage amount so that they don't get their Social Security, having to prevent folks from working 60, 70 hours a week without overtime, assuring that folks or that the contractor has workman's compensation coverage so that if somebody does get hurt, employees are covered. And to take this away and to allow that potential abuse and open it up to any nonprofit. So now every library that has a friend is going to have to say that we're exempt from this, and the potential for abuse is now available to all the contractors that they contract with. And I have great concern about it. I think there's cause for great concern, and I think we should give deference to the purpose and intention of why the prevailing wage, Bacon-Davis, was enacted in the first place. And I, for one, just don't want to be a part of acquiescing any potential for abuse of employees by contractors
and I think, as well-intended as it may be, that the purpose and intention, the spirit of the prevailing wage and the elimination or the reduction of the likelihood of potential abuse is significant. And to now go so far so it's not just Rockwood, it's everybody who comes along and says they're a nonprofit or purports to be a nonprofit. And finally, I think it leaves a lot of latitude for mischief on the part of contractors who have an opportunity now to hold themselves out as folks of goodwill and being affiliated or being a nonprofit themselves and creating a potential for misuse and abuse. And as well intended as it may be, I think that the potential for abuse far outweighs the good intention and goodwill that you as a sponsor and some of the folks who may very well want to do right by man, God, country.
Okay. I know that you're a man of conviction and you stand by your convictions, and I respect that. Any other questions by members of council, comments? Councilman Redda.
Thank you. I have to agree with Councilman Street when he said. The other is the monies that they raise, are they going to be putting it into the coffers to where it can go into prevailing wage as a job, as a prevailing wage job? Or is this going to be a separate item?
I'll try to answer what I think the question is about my ability. What this covers is funds raised privately by nonprofits in partnership with the county. It does not impact our public bid process using public capital dollars.
Okay, but with that, what I'm saying is the monies that they raise,
yes,
would it go into the county so the county could put it out for a prevailing wage bid? Because I have to agree with Councilman Street what he said. There's a lot of latitude for deception here on how things would get bid and how the projects would get through. I mean, there's a lot of projects out there that get done, and the county is involved in a lot of them. But this here is, to me, what it's going to do is going to be opening the door to change different things to where every project can be changed around that it won't get into the prevailing wage, even though it might be coming under the county. We still own the properties.
Yes.
And, for example, since you mentioned Friends of Rockwood,
yes,
if they walk away, what do we have now? Now we still have the property, and we still have to take care of it.
For the particular project in question at the conservatory, there's an MOU that's been drafted that offers guarantees with insurances and various things like that. But I understand your point, and I hear what you're saying. Councilman Smiley and Councilman Holland.
I'm just trying.
Council Attorney One.
I'm just trying to understand. My understanding from the past discussions, all in public, in committee, and this legislation, is that the nonprofit entities would have to raise the full cost of any project having to do with county properties through private funds.
Correct.
And they would handle the contracting out and the dispensation of those funds. The funds would not be mixed with county funds in any way.
Correct.
As I understood, that was part of the stumbling block initially, to where the reason they would not accept funds from the county, because then that would have commingled the funds, which would have triggered automatically the prevailing wage. Now, that's the way I understand this,
yes,
to be. Okay, thank you.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, prevailing wage was adopted about 10 years ago by this government. Prior to that, there was no such animal as prevailing wage. Prevailing wage was intended to allow organized labor to have a fair shot at getting contract work through special services. The legislation, as adopted, says that prevailing wage will apply to some, not all, not every single piece of whatever the county is doing. It said it would apply to some special service projects that are going out to bid. It's limited in what it says it's going to do. It was never intended to deny any and everybody who's not a part of organized labor an opportunity. It was to create it to give organized labor a fair share of contract work, an equal opportunity to acquire contracts through special services. And if you read the original legislation, it speaks specifically to that. Some special service projects, not all. What we have here, and primarily and specifically dealing with public funds. So it was not intended to say no to some small group like the Rock Friends of Rockwood, who wanted to do good by the government by presenting an opportunity to pay for needed structure damage in Rockwood, in this case, and God knows where to be next year or next month. But it's still up to council to go yes or no. But I think the legislation that you're coming forth with just clears that up, what the intent of prevailing wage was from the very beginning. Now, someone wants to expand the intent of prevailing wage legislation, that's all well and good, but that was not the intent of prevailing wage. If you read the original piece of legislation that was adopted, it used the word some special service projects that were going out to bid. This is not the case. There's no public dollars involved. I doubt if we would get to the business of the point where there's going to be groups of people out there raising private dollars to build the next whatever Newcastle County wants to build. I think this is a very unique and special opportunity for us and for the Friends and for any other group out there who may want to do well by this county, and not having any other group out there to somehow be handicapped or somehow put some unrealistic obstacles in the way so that we cannot benefit from the good of a public donation, any different than any other public donation that we receive. I think that prevailing wage legislation has been expanded way beyond what the original intent was.
Councilman Hollins, I know you were here during the passage of that very important piece of legislation, and thank you for that perspective. Let me just recognize we've got a couple hands here. Council Carol Doolin, then Councilmember Kilpatrick, and Councilman Street.
Carol Doolin, and I also was here when this was written, in fact, voted the prevailing wage law. And I want to make it clear that it only applies to a special services contract, and I want to make it clear what the definition is, and that's a contract construction, the cost of which will be paid for with public funds, where the county signs the contract. That would not be applicable even under the current law to the situation you're discussing. This clarification was written at the request of someone.
Thank you. Yes, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. First of all, my first two points were covered, one by Councilman Hollins and the other one by Council Doolin. So I'm just going to go into some of the facts that we already have. I mean, we have all of our little leagues that are on county land, and they all make improvements to county land. They all put up backstops, they put up pavilions, they put up concession stands, and I have never once heard anybody say to them, you need to contract under prevailing wage because you are on county property. Track. Does this mean that if they go into Carousel and they want to do something to the ring, that they cannot take their money and actually go and fix something, buy something for the county without doing it under prevailing wage? The state gives grant and aid. This is state money. They give it to nonprofits. They come with no conditions on if you're going to, we're paying for, you know, a section of your building, you have to do that under prevailing wage because you got state money. State also has prevailing wage rules. So I think that in my mind, this is an ordinance that really we shouldn't even be talking about, because we were told last week in testimony by Council Papakaya that the law right now allows for this. So in my mind, this is a clarification and enhancement of an existing law. But as the law states now,
they're allowed to do this.
Thank you. Councilman Street.
Well, I wasn't here 10 years ago when the prevailing wage and whoever wanted it brought forward, brought it forward. I would respectfully suggest to you that the genesis of even that goes directly to Bacon-Davis and the safeguards that are built into Bacon-Davis, in addition to separate and apart from the prevailing wage. And in the absence of the procedural safeguards to protect employees from employer abuse, I think it's a dangerous precedent and something that we should not be involved in. And until such time as we build in those procedural safeguards and see to it, especially with folks who are working on county property, that they're being properly compensated, that all rules and regulations and procedures are being followed, and somebody, because it is on our property, is monitoring it, then I think we're opening the door for potential abuse. And the second part of the argument, which I think is equally significant, it goes right back to what I started with, locked in and locked out. And make the argument that the friends are the friends and they didn't want to put the money in because they wanted to not mix private money with county money. I would respectfully suggest to you that may have been the case, but it was also crystal clear that they wanted to hire their contractor and their person. And that person was locked in. That's who they wanted to see to it, got to work. And I don't know any ability that they have to monitor and ensure that their procedural safeguards protecting employees from abuse. And until they're built in, I have major concerns with. I think this council should have major concerns with. I think as a government, there should be major concerns with. You know, either we're in those most likely to be negatively impacted, those most likely to be abused are those who are the least among us, those who are the employees who make the least, that are generally more often than not the one subjected to abuse, misuse, paying under the table, and all those kinds of all those aspects of mischief that have been unfortunately commonplace in some areas of labor for a long period of time.
Okay, just like to recognize Councilman Tackett's joined us, Councilman Rennett, and Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. What Councilwoman DePatrick said about the little leagues and all, they, in that aspect, they have contracts with us. They have, and in the contracts, they have to keep up the fields. They might pay a dollar a year for X amount of years or whatever, but they have to, in that contract, it states that they have to take care of the facilities. And that's the reason why most of them that do it, it's done by the volunteers of the people whose children's play in the lakes. The other is Track rents everything up there. They rent the horses, they pay for their own feed. They don't put any money into the facility because it's all taken care of by special services and community service now. The special services at one time was taking care of the whole facility up there. There was no money going into the county from the Track program. It was actually the money that they had was all gone to the county. Even their children that ride up there and their veterans that ride, the money that they pay or that Track pays for them goes to the county. So they pay for the trainers up there and everything else. So basically they're renting the facility.
Okay, thank you for that important perspective. Councilman Hollis.
Well, the money that we appropriate through our grants program is all public dollars. Just at our last meeting, there was $1,000 granted of public dollars to Taylor's Bridge Community Center for interior improvement. At our last meeting, $1,000 was granted to the Blackbird Community Association for replacement of doors, windows, and frame repairs. At our last meeting, $1,000 was granted to the MOT Little League for the replacement of the field stand. So all of these things are public dollars being used. There's no mention in our grants program when we grant these dollars out that these agencies have to in fact hire anyone as it relates to the prevailing wage standards. So it seems to me that the prevailing wage discussion that we're having today and we had at our last meeting goes far beyond the intent of the original prevailing wage legislation that was adopted by council. If council wants to expand that, then we should change the legislation and come with a new piece of legislation describing the criteria for prevailing wage. That is not the prevailing wage that we are being governed by today, and I think it's been confirmed by council to council. But if council wishes to do that, then let's have another piece of legislation. But right now, all these public dollars that we're spending and all the other types of things that have been mentioned here is not covered by the prevailing wage standards that was adopted by council.
Okay. Any other comments on Ordinance 13-0C61 under my sponsor, Councilman Street?
And consistent with the argument put forward by Councilman Hollins, if indeed council wants to repeal, eliminate the prevailing wage, and that's where we're going, then we can just say that. Somebody can bring legislation forward to say that, because this is the genesis of just that. Separate and apart from the prevailing wage, I have to continue to be concerned about the potential for abuse on work being done on county property. And those procedural safeguards need to be built in, and they don't exist in the instant legislation that's before us.
Okay, any other comments by members of council? Before we go on, I'd just like to say that I'm completely impressed by the robust discussion of this ordinance by members of council, and I appreciate, you know, the conviction offered by everybody around the table, and you know, it's a great credit to the public in Newcastle County. This council sits in open sessions like this and can debate things so thoroughly, and you know, I think it's a credit to all of us, and I'm going to give serious consideration to all the concerns expressed around the table tonight. Any other comments from members of council? Any other comments from the public, staff? Moving along on the agenda, we are moving on. Item J, K, and L, there is none. Moving on to other, we're going on to our county council grant requests, and this evening, this afternoon, we have two requests, I believe. Thank you. Western District Advisory Council, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'd like to present this grant to the committee for consideration. This is for the National Night Out. This does cover all of the police force for Newcastle County and all the districts, and this is a group that, you know, is formed to help oversee and work with the public and help train them, and this is a night of awareness. So myself right now and Councilwoman Diller have agreed to join forces here to sponsor this informative piece of grant.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that this council, unless anybody, if there's any rest in, that we approve $1,000, $500 from me and $500 from Councilwoman Diller.
Second.
Motion is second. Open for discussion. I'd like to offer $250.
Oh, thank you.
To help. I know National Night Out is a big deal, and I'm going to be involved. Councilman Hollins.
Very well attended.
Just a question. It says this application is pending receipt of the 501c3 certification.
Okay.
Bessie wants to respond to that.
That's the government council. It's all been received.
It's all been received.
So my question is, why would it be held up because of that? Because my understanding is it's not a requirement to have the 501c3.
That's the government clerk council. They checked off that they were 501c3, which means you have to provide it. If you
okay.
Check it off.
Thank you.
And I question kind of the same thing, but apparently you have to confirm that every year, because we've given them grants before, and
yeah.
I thought everything was fine, and then every year it's got to be reconfirmed or something. And
it's just like the non-discrimination.
Yeah.
It's just like the non-discrimination. You fill out the application, everything has to come with
federal government.
I have a
Councilman Smiley.
Seek clarification for those that are taking the notes in the minutes. Due to Councilman Cartier's contribution, have you taken the grant to 1250, or is the 250 part of the 1,000?
They haven't.
Councilman Tackett.
Well, we were kind of like waiting to see. We was hoping that we wouldn't have as many questions and more offers for donations, but but we're taking it up to the 1250.
Okay, so it's up to 1250. Okay, we just.
Any other members of council want to offer? Okay. We have a motion on table. Will you revise that motion?
Yeah, make a motion for 1250 for the Western District Advisory Council for the awareness and the sponsorship of the National Night Out. The benefits all of Newcastle County and covers all of our districts.
I have a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. Grant is approved for the National Night Out in Banning Park. Thank you for bringing that forward.
Oh, you're welcome. It's all not right. Even in our district.
Yeah. Councilman Bell, City of Delaware City.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a grant that we provided last year in District 12. We did $1,100 last year. That was all I had left at the end of the fiscal year. But this is a celebration that the city puts on, Delaware City, the town. It has a lot to do with the city's history and heritage. They've got more than 12,000 folks that come that day to Delaware City. It's something that is good for the community's youth and their various programs, and it helps with economic development because we have a lot of folks that come there that day, spend the entire day and evening, and support the local businesses and vendors and whatnot. So they've asked for $2,500. I'd like to provide a grant for $1,500. To Delaware City for this particular day. So with the support of council, I'd like to do that, $1,500.
Want to put it into motion?
Yes, I'd like to move that authorization be given to provide a grant to Delaware City for Delaware City Day celebration in the amount of $1,500.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. I just want to make one comment. Delaware City is an amazing story to me. I've been there. I've been on this day. It's a great family-friendly event, and that town is really putting itself together. Lots of beautiful historic homes. There's a lot of restoration work that's going on. And you know, I only see Delaware City having you know great days ahead. And I think you're really doing a great job backing that day up. Moving along, expense and revenue roundtable. Anybody have any comments on expense revenue roundtable? None? No one? No members of council offer any comment? Yes, Councilman Sheldon.
This goes under finance, it's, but it has nothing to do with revenues, that's for sure. But I've getting, you know, you saw the article in the, well, something in the paper, but I've been getting a lot of phone calls since May about the Kent County SPCA. And I didn't know when the contract was up. I just wanted to throw it out there. That you can, somebody from the departments can just email me personally or give everybody. But when the contract is up and what the audit, you know, stated that they weren't providing us with some of the services, I'd just like to find out where we're going with that. Because I've three civic associations meeting in a row. And I think that's my people in the editorials that are writing. So.
Okay.
Good. I just want to put that out there to
We'd
see
like
when
to have a report on the contract and what the future of that contract
when
is.
When they're coming up and stuff. Right. Like I said, it doesn't have to be in the finance.
One second. Councilman Smiley?
I just want to say I believe council received the transmission from the purchasing that the RFP was put out a month ago or something like that. I'm not sure the amount, but it wasn't KSPCA on the list.
Yes, Ms. Smith has her hand raised.
I mean, the
Andrea
control.
Smith, Administrative Services. It is on the council report. We have not put it on the street yet.
Yeah,
we're finalizing the specs. The contract actually ends December 31st of this year, with no extension. We have had some inspections since the audit was done. Those inspections have went well.
Okay. Councilman Smiley.
And this isn't the place. I'm sure we'll get into it at the time of the contract, but we also note that one of those organizations who's advocated and criticized the Kent County SPCA is now looking for more money because their revenue won't sustain keeping all the animals alive that they want to keep alive, which is what we said when we first got into this. You add 2 days, you add to the budget, you add to the cost. Well, you add to the cost because we're not adding anything to our budget for it. So,
Councilman Bell.
I look forward to it. I know we'll have a good discussion there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, would just join with Councilman Sheldon. I have received numerous inquiries and complaints about Kent County SPCA. The way they have been notified or not notified, I think also there's been some question over the treatment and euthanization of animals. So I, too, am very interested in when this topic comes up, to assure that whomever we contract with not only abides by the county wishes, but provides a good service and not cruelty. And I had one situation where a woman's dog was actually taken there. Before it was over, you might have thought that she was going down there to retrieve her car out of a compound. And what they told them that, once she found out the dog was there, what they told of her that she owed to them. And so I think, it's, in a sense, some of this is a disservice to our folks in this county.
Okay, good. Point duly noted, and we'll look forward to that report. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Let me just reiterate that I've gotten email after email, everything under the sun forwarded to me.
Good Lord.
I have to say that when I've worked with them on individual cases, Kent County SPCA has been very diligent and has worked well with me, but I do continue to get constituents calling and emailing me of problems that they proceed with.
Okay.
And
good point. Yes.
And just to clear it up, I advise all my constituents of the same thing. You really need to contact your senator and your rep and tell them they need to take it back because they can do a much better job than Newcastle County.
Councilman Sheldon.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments too. But could we have that email? Could you forward an email at least to me, because I could just forward it on to my constituents that you did go in, because they're saying we're doing nothing, of course.
Absolutely.
But you did go in and they have been up to par and so forth as far as what you're saying.
Right, Andrea Smith again. Public Safety has assigned a person to this project. They went down on 2 surprise inspections, like back to back, and had nothing to report as far as any, I don't want to say defects, but in the contract. So we are keeping on top of them between now and the end of the contract.
That'd be nice.
Absolutely.
Yes. That'd be nice to send back out when they complain to us and say, look, we found nothing.
We're,
I appreciate
on top
it.
Of it.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we're going to move on. We're going from other to public comment. Any comments from the public? Okay, seeing none. Do I have
motion to adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the finance meeting of
Dave.
July 9th is now adjourned.